Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon on this beautiful Sunday afternoon that the Lord has given us. And I hope you're well and safe this day. I want to thank you for listening. And I hope you'll receive something from what I'm going to say that would help you to know God, to know your salvation better, or to be saved. And that's what we're going to be going over, to trust in Christ. And today we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 1, 16 and 17, and talking about the power of God. We saw or witnessed the power of God last night, in the last 48, 72 hours. We have seen the power of God in protecting Israel, protecting the enemies of Israel. Israel is the apple of God's eye. It was through Israel, the nation of Israel, that the promised seed came, that we read earlier in the in Romans chapter 1, says here in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, Romans 1, 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So, we find there that the salvation of mankind has come through the seed of David, which is an Israelite. He was the king of Israel at its pinnacle, at its prime. And through him did the seed, his offspring, came the Messiah, the promised one, God in the flesh, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is why it's so important to pray for Israel and be a friend of Israel. I give out tracts that say, they're chick tracts, and they say, love the Israel nation or love Israel. And I go around to the different welcome centers. I live in the grocery store and things like that. And I go, put them in the vending machines. And I went to one Friday and go to put some more tracks in the vending machines. And I saw there they had one vending machine. The track was torn up and put back in the machine. And I thank the Lord for it. At least there's some response. It might be negative, but I know how the Lord works, and I know how people are. They're temperamental or whatever. And so love the nation of Israel. Pray for the nation of Israel. Be on the side of Israel. And I thank God that our nation is not against Israel, but they sure are. Our leadership is weak toward backing up Israel or toward saying that they're on Israel's side or helping Israel. But as I'm thinking about it, well, maybe that's okay. It just shows the power of God more and the weakness of man more, mankind. And so it's the power of God that we're looking at in verse 16. And it says that here that Jesus Christ, in verse 3 of Romans, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Okay? So we got information on Jesus Christ. The first thing is in Romans 1, 2, it's according to the scriptures. The Old Testament, the preparation and the preaching and the prophecies of the Old Testament and keeping them preserved is what the Old Testament is all about. It's about the Messiah, the Savior of the world, of mankind coming, and it's written out in the Old Testament. Then we see further that the Savior of mankind in the flesh, God in the flesh, is through the nation of Israel, specifically the seed of David, offspring of David. Then we see here that in verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So the Spirit of God empowered God, the flesh, in the flesh, by the resurrection from the dead. The proof beyond shadow doubt that this is God, that there's not, no matter what other man has, let's say, attributes, things that he's accomplished in his life, like Caesar or Napoleon or other people, let's say, that are famous in the world, Genghis Khan, I don't know. None of them has resurrected from the dead. Buddha has not resurrected from the dead. Muhammad has not resurrected from the dead. Only Jesus Christ, because he's God and he's your Savior. And all these other people are used as props of Satan come against Jesus Christ and the believer. Okay, then it says, Paul says, I have received apostleship for obedience to the faith among nations for his name. In verse 6, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ? So Paul's saying, this is my credentials. And if anybody has credentials, powerful credentials, and believes in those credentials and know that in Jesus, believes in Jesus Christ, is Paul. It's Paul. Going there. And he talks about his ministry and what he wants to do when he ministers there, when he gets to Rome. And he says in verse 15, Romans 1, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, what's the big deal about Rome? Well, all roads led to Rome. And the roads that were built back then that led to Rome, you can still use them today. They were used, and some of the roads were used by the United States Army when they invaded during D-Day, because the other roads were washed out. But these Roman roads that were built in the days of Roman, over 1,000 years old, were still could be used. So that's because Rome was the power of the world. You did not mess with Rome, or you would not live long, or you would be exiled, or you'd be made a slave, whatever. And so you didn't want to go against Rome, the government of Rome. The time that Jesus came and the time that Paul was alive, there was called Pax Roma. And it was called Peace of Rome. You could travel anywhere. If you're a Roman citizen, you could travel anywhere in the empire of Rome free. And that's how powerful and solid the country or the empire of Rome was when Paul was here. And he was a Roman citizen, something else. There was a common language all over the Roman Empire, over the Roman world. All over the world, there was one common language, and it was called Greek. in Greek, it's called the Koine Greek, common Greek, and it's not the one they use today. I don't know the difference, but understand it's one of the most concise and perfect languages there is the Greek language, and especially the Koine Greek, to explain things, to communicate. And so the power, that's why he wanted to go to Rome. You see, the Romans borrowed from the Greeks. They borrowed their gods. They borrowed their wisdom. They used their architect, their engineering. Everything was continued from the Greeks. Romans really didn't come up with any new, except they became more powerful. They became with bigger guns and a more powerful army. And they constructed a more, well, for a while, a more powerful government until it became a dictatorship. Then you get into all kind of stuff that's crazy, like we see. So the Roman government was where Paul was heading, and he was going there. He got sidetracked to whatever else he was doing, but because he was led by the Holy Spirit to go here and preach the gospel and start churches, and that's an exciting. I know he paid the price. I haven't been to the Holy Land, but I've been to Corinth, and I just imagined. I stood where he was tied to post in front of the Bema seat in Corinth, and just imagine how Paul steadfastly, unashamedly was arrested and brought before the judge to would be in his and his imprisonment or punishment would be, and to stand there with the boldness that Paul had at that time. Let me tell you. And let's get it. Let me start in verse 16, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When Paul stood at that Bema seat and in front of the judge of the area, he could have killed him. I mean, he was an executioner. He had full power. And he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed to go to Rome, because this people that were following Jesus, that had believed in Jesus, there was no great reputation. There was no freedom of religion that the Americans have, the Christians have in this wonderful country. It's still the greatest country on earth. This greatest country on earth. It was not there. If you spoke out against the Roman government or the Roman gods, and depending on who was in charge, well, look what they did to Jesus, because he went against the Jewish religion. And here, Paul the Apostle was not ashamed of the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. What happened? Jesus, a considered wacko in let's say, distinguished circles, and especially with the Jewish religion and with the Roman leaders and everything, anybody of any intelligence, if you were intelligent or educated, like in the United States today, we was that the other night. It was the Holy Ghost that told me that just call this guy stupid. I didn't know it. But he says, I don't believe in God. I said, well, you're stupid. And so that Paul the Apostle had boldness. He didn't, because of what? Why was he not ashamed? Why was he not ashamed? I mean, the world didn't see anything in Jesus. Oh, yeah, okay, he said he resurrected. But who believes in him? I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But who believes? Did any of the rulers believe? Did any great and mighty men believe? Was there any established religion? This was just a starting faith. They were called the Way. Why would you want? They didn't have, what was their power? They didn't have the Roman government behind them. They didn't have the protection of a government like the Christians in this country do. In this country have. They have the right by this government to freely exercise their faith. They didn't have that. Paul didn't have that. It was, and if anybody can, like the Jews did all the time, they came up and tried to get Paul in prison or chase him out of town, and they were successful a lot of ways. And so, as a matter of fact, that's why he died. He died because he was a Christian, and he irritated the Caesar. So why did Paul have such a strong faith? Well, he used to persecute the Christians himself, but he was blinded and knocked to the ground. And then Jesus spoke to him and confirmed for him, told him, look, go to Damascus. Barnabas is going to take care of you. Then Jesus told Barnabas, hey, Barnabas is coming. Don't be afraid of him. He's going to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. So Paul the Apostle was not afraid because of his, I'm going to say, miraculous conversion, but I believe all conversions are miraculous. Just like the way that God protected the Jews last night, Israel last night, from all of these bombs and everything, and the way that certain nations even came up and on the side of the Jews. And by God's grace and miraculous protection for Israel, not one person, one Jew died. So getting back to another miracle was that Paul the Apostle was converted when he believed. He flip-flopped. He went from a persecutor of Christ and believers to a preacher and proclaimer and leader of the believers. That's why he was not ashamed, because he knew what he believed and he knew who Christ was and God was. It was Jesus in the flesh. So he was not ashamed. And unfortunately, I have been ashamed sometimes to share my faith. And not be as bold as I should be sometimes. And God nudges me in my heart to speak out or to say something. And I've been ashamed in this country because I didn't want to feel like or look like I was unintelligent. Yeah, it wasn't the right group of people to profess or to give Christ the credit for it or to. God opens up the door to share your faith in some which way and not thank Jesus Christ for this opportunity or whatever. You've seen these celebrities do it a lot, especially sports. And so we have that privilege. Paul didn't have that privilege, but he took it anyway. And that tells me that maybe if we had a little bit more stress or persecution in our life, we would be more bold, or it show our true colors, one of the two. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So he wasn't ashamed of the good news of Jesus. Some man in some far away from Rome country with this religious group that had this weird faith, real religious practice, and they proclaimed that Jesus, this Christ, resurrected from the dead. And the Romans, who were powerful, and their power was in their sword, whereas the Christian's power is in a resurrected Savior, resurrected man that was tried and found guilty and executed as a criminal. That's their power. Whereas Rome, the power of Rome was the power of the sword and of might, of intellect, and of physical accomplishments. But the gospel of Christ is more powerful, as we can see and have seen and do see. Rome is no more an empire. Rome is come and gone. Their ideas and their successes and victories and battle and all of that are gone. They're not there anymore. Constantinople's not there anymore. But Christianity is still here. And the gospel is still here. And so that's where the power is. Now, something that McLaren says, Alexander McLaren says, is that ideas are a lot more powerful than guns or swords or inventions. Ideas, and that's what's wrong with our country today. That's why there's not that many believers or weak believers. They don't come out boldly and profess their faith. It's because there's so many ideas that are anti-Christ. Simple as that. They're satanic. They're in books. They're in governments. They're in immorality. All of these ideas that are against Christ and his teachings. And of course, against Jesus, putting your faith in Jesus. Most religions have you to do something for your salvation. But we see here in 1:16, Romans 1:16, the power of God is the gospel of Christ to salvation. What's the power for? It's to save you. And salvation is just what it says. It's to save from a condition that is dangerous. And that's what your danger is. You're going to die. My danger is I'm going to die. And I want to prepare a better place for me. But I can't. Because every time I try to do good and everything else, I mess it up by sinning. That's something you can't get away from, is that we're all sinners. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross to pay the price for our sin. God accepted his work, his righteous life and work for our unrighteous life and work. So that if we believe in him, God will honor our faith in him. Let me show you. Hello. Okay. She'll go over the word, well, what believe means. Okay. It is a mental persuasion. A belief, a firm persuasion, a conviction of the truth of anything. Believing means you are persuaded of the truth. You believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and he was God in the flesh, and he came and was crucified and sacrificed for your sins and mine, and resurrected from the dead 3 days later to seal it, to prove it. You believe that. That's what it means. You're persuaded. You're convicted of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what believing is. And believing that God, through Christ, in the flesh, has come and resurrected again for you. He is a Messiah. Now, I want you to, if you can, go with me to 1 Corinthians 1:20. 1 Corinthians 1:20. I'm going to start there, 1:20. It says, Paul asked a question to the Corinthians. This, again, Corinth was a big city, and it was known for its merchandise and merchants. It was known for its marble works. It was known for being a seaport, so you had a lot of people coming and going. It was known for its Olympic Games. They were called the Corinthian Games. It was athletics. And also was known for an immoral city. They had a religion there. I forget the name. They had a few religions there. They had a few temples. I think one scholar said there was 18 different temples. And so, but one of them was at the top of the hill was this temple. I forget the name of it, maybe Athena. And they would go down to these merchants and these sailors at night, and these sailors could pay a prostitute, but it had a little extra kick to it, because if you had this prostitute with this prostitute and you gave money, you were not just, you know, having a good time and having sex, but you were also giving extra money to the god, so for seafaring, for safe sailing. So that was one of them. And these were well-known prostitutes, hundreds of them, locale. A big, pretty big size area. And so Paul founded a church here, or he came back to build it and to structure it and take care of his problems. A lot of people were getting saved because the truth was being preached and the Spirit of God was saving people. They couldn't believe how these people, they knew that the miracle was. You know the miracle is of being saved in Jesus, knowing your sins are forgiven and the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You know that. Listen to what Paul said. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world out by wisdom knew not God. God, by the foolishness of preaching, that means persuasion, persuading someone by communicating to them, preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, and yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. If you know the miracle of salvation, glory in that. Glory in that man that was crucified, God-man. crucified in Israel 2,000 years ago and resurrected for you and I. Glory in that and be not ashamed. Salvation to everyone that believeth. God bless you. WSM217@gmail.com. Brother John.